What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Doug hates candy wrapper screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as a popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody. That was Hard and Firm singing that theme song that is burrowed its way into the brains of many unsuspecting individuals. Chris Hardwick was on the last episode. I don't know if you guys heard it or not, but he and Weird Al Yankovic have pledged to do a project together under the name Yank Hard. And so when that eventually happens, you guys can go. You can blame it on me or credit me with the making it happen. So I'm very excited about that. I found a piece of paper today that I had written down. I'd written down a little exchange of dialogue from a movie, and I'll read you the exchange of dialogue and see if anybody knows what this is from. I bought my first Rubens with poker winnings. You bought a Rubens painting? Not a painting, a sandwich. Now, first of all, the level, I didn't say that hoping you'd laugh, like thinking it's funny. I was hoping you'd laugh thinking that is the most horrible joke. How could characters in a motion picture speak that to one another, and then the movie continues? Like maybe if that was the end of the movie, that'd be pretty awesome. You know, as they're walking off into the sunset. I bought my first Rubens with poker winnings. You bought a Rubens painting? Not a painting, a sandwich. And then the credits start to roll. That'd be pretty awesome. But that was that joke was written by the great Woody Allen and was in the movie Scoop, which was not good. So I wrote it down and saved it. Then I found it today and then I read it to you guys. I'm going to put it in my pocket. I'll find it and read it to you next week. So this is I Love Movies. We're coming to you live on tape from the UCB Theater in Los Angeles, California, home every Tuesday night of Comedy Death Ray, a very popular show, comedy show featuring a lot of the guests, most of the guests that you hear on this podcast and on the Comedy Death Ray radio podcast. We're like sister podcasts that make out. Next week on December 15th, 2009, I decided to start saying, when I say dates, the year, because these podcasts are just going to be like stacked up. You know how, I don't know if you guys have done this, but people will like find out about the podcast and then they'll like have a marathon where they listen to it for 3 days and they don't bathe. And I don't return those people's emails, but I do hear about it. And so I want to make sure everyone's clear about what year it is so that next year around this time, I don't get people going, I went down to that thing and it didn't happen. And I'd be like, what are you listening to? A podcast from a year ago? So on December 15th, 2009, the special Christmas extravaganza that they do at Comedy Death Ray every year, which is already sold out, it's a benefit for the LA Food Bank. It's a charity that gives food to people that are in banking. So it's an awesome charity, and they are having an auction to raise money for the LA Food Bank. And so what we have in place in the auction is the opportunity to co-host, or co-guest, I should say, an episode of I Love Movies to come out. I'll have a cool guest as for the other guests, and then there'll be some basically like a trick who paid money, like I'm some sort of whore, to be on this show. But it's a good cause, and I think it'd be fun to have somebody out here, just talking about movies and playing the Leonard Maltin game and the whole deal. So you'd have to fly yourself out here if you're bidding on this from elsewhere, and you'll have to find somewhere to stay. Maybe the LA Food Bank has some cots. but to get more information on this and to bid, the bidding is currently at like $118. And I'll tell you this right here and now. I will donate to the LA Food Bank. I will match everything that's bid, the highest bidder. I will match that amount up to $1,000. Because for two reasons, I only go up to $1,000 because I don't want to have to spend more than $1,000. But then also, I don't want any person to spend more than $1,000 to sit here and be on this show. I think somebody might. We'll see. Could be exciting. So go to cdrxmas.tumblr. You know how to spell Tumblr, right? TUMBLR.com. And then click on auction. That is really complicated. And then you can also find it maybe by just cruising around the search engine on aspecialthing.com, which is another friend of this podcast. All right. That was a really exciting announcement. We're all so happy it's over. You can't listen to my podcast or any podcast, I don't think, on a iPod shuffle. Or iPod shuffle. On a, the shuffle. Forget it. What am I talking about? But what just happened when you listen to this later is proof that this show is unedited. Tonight's guests are some longtime comedy stand-up pals. Jesus, comedy stand-up pals? I wrote that down. Please welcome from... They've both been on The Late Show with David Letterman, and one of them hosts the WTF podcast, respectively. Andy Kindler and Mark Maron are here, everybody. Can you believe it? Andy comes out with a bow, dances around before choosing a seat. He's got an orange beverage. He's playing with my beverage now. Mark has got a coffee and is very sedate. You guys are totally living up to...
No, we're going
to
be the morning after evening zoo.
I understand what's going on here. This is obviously a Jew-themed show.
It's a Jew-themed episode.
You said, let's get the happy, exciting, fun Jew and the angry Jew and do a show. Let's discuss Serious Man for 45 minutes.
Hey, can I get more of that in my monitor?
We get a little bit of that sometimes.
I'm not hearing that enough on my monitor. Like, we have a monitor. Hilarious.
If you pull the microphone out, Andy, and then sit back a little bit, we might have a...
Why would anybody
or
work
how, could
like
Could you
that?
Try out in the hallway? See how it works?
You've just given Kindler license to move.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yes, look what's happening.
A very small comedian's mic stand.
That's hilarious.
Am I right?
Let me explain it to the radio people.
He has a podcast.
What Andy did was hold up the small mic stand and said, very small comedian mic stand. That's for the people listening at home. Hilarious, Andy.
Now that's right. For radio. Okay.
But there
are
people
like Carrot Top doesn't have a podcast.
I don't know what we're doing. Okay. I've always just said jinx when I talk at the same time. The same
from
words.
From Chinatown?
No, with another person. Oh. But you do that.
I'm ready for the test. I'm ready for the Leonard Maltin. To the two Jakes. What is the two Jakes?
That's what a lot of people were probably asking while they were making it. didn't turn out so good.
That was the one with Harvey Keitel that made no sense?
Yeah, I was a young man living in Hollywood working as an extra in motion pictures when the first time they attempted to make that movie, because it was one of those things where they started to make it and then they shut down after a day. And I got the call saying, hey, we want you to play like a lab technician. There's only going to be two extras in the scene, and the scene is the two of you and another extra and Jack Nicholson. And I was like, this could be a fun day.
It'd be great.
And Jack Nicholson is directing. And that was the one with the kid stays in the picture. What's his name? Robert Evans.
Right.
Fucked something up and did something stupid. And so the production shut down. And then a couple of years later, they finally got it off the ground again. I didn't get the call. They don't really keep that on file.
At that point in your career, though, did you have a
I think
moment?
The script might have been rewritten, too. They might not have had a scene where they needed two lab technicians.
Did you have a moment, though, when they told you that, where he's like, he's going to be in the scene and also the director, where you're like, well, is he? So he's got to come around from the camera and come into the scene? How does he do both things at once?
I wasn't that naive. And I think I knew it from, you know, reading it somewhere or something. I don't think they told me that when they called me. They don't usually tell the extras who the director is. Listen, we got this project. This director, it's his first time director, but he wrote The Wrestler. So yeah. I think it's going to be good.
And we need you to wear
a black
shirt.
That's somebody trying to get extras for a big fan.
It's always
come
good
down
you,
for our stadium scenes.
It's always good when you make a sequel like 20 years after the original, you know, expecting people to still know what the fuck the story was.
No one knew the story on the first one. I don't know the story. I really did. The water came off.
Yeah.
The water came on. He goes into, you want me to cut your nose?
Yeah.
Boom.
I swept with,
right.
Then he
I
raped
the
13-year-old and bang.
Roman Polanski was there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hmm. I you know, I can't enjoy that movie anymore because he's a guilty criminal.
Really?
Do you really feel that way about that?
No, not at all. I don't get
it.
I mean, I won't defend him because of it. I won't say, come on, Chinatown. Cut 5 years off of his sentence.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the Masters, personally.
What does that mean?
A Tiger Woods reference.
What does that mean?
That he's in trouble. he's in trouble now. So now
oh, Tiger Woods is in the news in December
here.
Of 2009. To be very clear about that. Don't read my crazy notes that look like they were written by R. Crumb.
I mean
his brother.
I had no, when the Tiger Woods thing happened on television, I could give less of a shit. I had no reaction at all. I don't care about golf. I don't care about Tiger Woods. All I was thinking is like, do I still have cereal? Yeah, I could not.
He slept with 400 women and he had.
Well, then he should win a different prize.
But wouldn't you get it? Wouldn't you get mildly interested? At 500
Well,
women.
It's just like the Miss America lady. Like, so they found 7 or 8 tapes of her after she lied about masturbating on camera. And I thought, well, that means they should give the crown back to her because she's done a spectacular thing.
I want to see all of those tapes, too.
Can you see them?
I don't want to see Tiger Woods' naked picture, though. I don't care about that.
No.
Oh, I'm all over that.
Let's talk about movies.
Okay. Oh.
So you guys went on tour together, right?
Yeah, we didn't see any
movies.
What
was it? Together. We had like a name though, or something like, right? Like Wild Hogs or something.
It was the Wild West. It was Vince Vaughn's Wild West comedy show.
And no, Mark, what was it called? It had a name.
Stand Uppity.
And whose idea was
stand
that?
Uppity.
It was my
idea. Stand Uppity.
And the tagline was comedy that makes you feel better about yourself and superior to others.
Right, so it was a goofy name that condescended out of the gate.
We had big arguments about it, too. Huge arguments.
I didn't have an
what
argument.
Did
I
argued about everything.
I know, I said I didn't like it, and you go, it doesn't matter, it's my tour.
No, I wanted to give people like IQ tests on the way in. If they liked certain comics, they couldn't get in.
And, so it's like he had this great idea to put three comics
Mark
together.
Thinks everybody should get in.
Yeah, of course everyone should get in. But this idea was that, like, okay, this is stand-up comedy for people who only understand this comedy.
Yeah.
That was the presentation. If you like sort of angry, esoteric Jews that aren't as popular as they should be, come see this show.
Well, now he tells me. I thought I was huge on that tour.
Oh, yeah.
I was surprised that we could do small rooms.
Eugene Merman went with you guys, right?
Yeah, but even he didn't bring people out.
And he's not that stand-up.
We thought he would draw.
He's the most docile of the three, for sure.
Oh, man, traveling in a car with these two guys. Oh, my God. You know, traveling with Andy, I've said this before, is like traveling with the history of the Jewish people. And they're different styles of Jew in the car, because, like, you know, I don't know if you know Eugene Merman, but Eugene operates at this speed. Ba 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 ba. And then Andy's like, beep, boop, pop, boop, pop, 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 pop. Yeah, and then I'm like, la, 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 la. So all I know is by the time we got to Cincinnati, if people didn't know from personal experience what a Jew was and why they were irritating, by our third visit to the Waffle House, they were very clear on it.
Do you have any different kind? Do you
there,
have
that's it. Here,
maple syrup?
Let me do it. Here.
Do you have maple syrup?
They don't have.
You're the most demanding Jew in the world.
Right, it's right.
To go to a Waffle House and demand maple syrup.
Not real maple syrup. Real maple syrup.
You tried to go.
You could have picked something like harder to get.
He tried to go off the menu at Waffle House, though, which is a
off menu. I like
it. It's a Semitic trait. Where, like,
what's with all the waffles?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I think you said something like, "Is there something I can get that doesn't that isn't bad for you?"
As you were sticking chewing tobacco in your nose. Have we hit a movie yet?
No, and I think I'm looking at my questions, and right, they're not movie oriented at all.
You got to get movie oriented.
Well, it was like, a fun tour.
Like, how did the whole Letterman scandal affect you? Did you ever have an awkward elevator ride with him?
What could I possibly...
Did you say something wrong during one of your segments?
How could I respond to a question like that would help
There's
me
no good
in
response.
Any sense of the
There's
word?
No,
that
would
only
say.
Hurt me.
It's called a hardball question.
Okay, this is
hardball. I didn't bring you here to be like Joey Behar or Larry King.
Did you say Joey Behar?
No, that'd Joey be Behar.
Great, Joey Behar?
I would love if that was her name.
If her name was Joey, you would love that?
I would. Have you seen ViewTube?
What is ViewTube?
Oh, come on.
What?
It's the Bill Getty produces pieces during The View. Nobody knows what Bill Getty is. He's a producer of The View, and as they bump the commercial, they show you some ViewTube.
Oh, I see. Sounds very interesting.
It's fantastic.
The Letterman
scandal. It's good to see what's going on behind the scenes and something where there's nothing going on in front of the scenes.
Right.
Like, what if... Let's go deeper into nothing.
I did The View once.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you were in Comedy Corny? Corner?
At the beginning of Comedy Corner, I did it. And I don't know, like, if you ever had the experience where... I know we have because we do television occasionally, but when you see somebody you've seen on TV exclusively in person and you have that moment, you're like, oh, my God, they're 900 years old. I had that experience with Meredith, what's her name? Like, she looks a certain way on television, and then when you're sitting across from her, you're like, oh my God, the camera just hides all that? Like, she literally looked like something like the Crypt Keeper. It was, and I like her all right, but I feel bad I'm saying.
You can't say that at the end of that riff.
Yeah, you can.
I mean, I'm a fan.
She's a nice lady.
I like what she does.
I like her work on the Millionaire
program. But she looks like she's 7,000 years old.
Well, that's called the comedian qualifier. It's like, fuck that guy, but he's all right,
but
that guy. Yeah.
But we're, you know, I kid the president, as Bill Maher says after every joke.
Well, that's like
joke.
They did it on, you guys didn't see the Curb Your Enthusiasm finale? Because they go into the whole, having said that.
Right, yeah,
that
yeah,
whole
yeah,
thing
yeah.
Where you can then just you can say something horrible, and having said that, and then say something a little nicer.
I find
it up a bit.
Like saying something awful. I say something awful, then I apologize sort of half-heartedly, and then I say a few more awful things, and then I say, we're okay though, right?
He does usually. Do that. We're okay. He is so insecure.
We're okay? Are we okay?
Beneath the anger and the rage and the bravado is a small crying child who wants to get one of those Zuzu toys and hopes there's heavy metal in it.
What does the...
Why you got to expose all the inner workings of who I am to these people? They don't know me. I mean, the crying child I try to keep hidden.
It's a Jeff Dunham character.
What is? I think that's my hook now. I'm going to make a doll out of my crying inner child and
why
tour the
crying?
Road with it.
Yeah. Why are you crying, cryy?
What do you need, little crying Mark?
I don't know, but it's not going well.
I think you've got to try to make it a terrorist somehow. Because yeah. That's what really put him over the top.
So it'd be sort of
having
like
a dead terrorist.
I will kill you if you don't love me. That kind of angle?
I like that.
Yeah.
I think of you when I'm on the road,
sell a
though,
lot of tickets.
I think of you when I'm on the road all the time because I get on demand. I mean, I never order anything on demand because that would require giving your credit card to the front desk. I'm not going for that trick. So, but I always think of you because
you're
go,
like at the front desk, what incidentals?
Yeah, exactly.
What am I possibly going to need?
Yeah, I'm using your long-distance calling system at the hotel. I've heard so much good things about it. But I always think of you because you might know one of those movies that I could like Duplicity. Should I see that?
I'd know what that is, and I'd tell you to give it a pass.
a race to which mountain I could have watched?
I wouldn't watch that either if I were you.
So to me...
I think you're batting 1,000 on your own.
Holy shit.
You don't need me to stop you from watching these things.
I don't know either of those movies.
Well, one of them's a Sandra Bullock movie, isn't it?
And one's a remake, prequel, sequel with The Rock in it.
I'm not going to be good at this game at the end.
Well, don't start stressing about the game. We still got. I've been
stressing about the game since yesterday.
I got some more hardball questions that have nothing to do about with the game.
Yeah.
The WTF podcast.
Yes.
What does WTF stand for?
It stands for.
I like that, Doug. Doug has a good acting.
He's quick.
He's always been one of my favorite actors.
He did.
I'm serious. I'm being serious. Have I not been giving you props?
You've always been very complimentary of my two or three lines that I say in popular programs.
All I know is when I had you on my podcast in the live venue that was here, and I brought up pot, you looked at me and said, "Oh, that's an original angle."
Yeah.
Well, he likes.
So what's your point?
He likes to make people. He likes to make people feel bad about themselves. You know that about Doug, right? That's his shtick.
And then I brought up a story that we shared, and I've told it many times, and it never gets a laugh. And you.
Oh yeah, that's right. Let's not tell it again.
No, we're not going to.
You guys can go back and listen to him tell it on every other podcast we've done together.
What are we, just Smothers Brothers?
I do want to ask you to tell us what the WTF podcast is, because you used to be a very political figure in radio.
Yes, I was a polarizing political figure that people resented. But it took me. Well, I used to do a radio show on Air America, but this is not.
This
politics.
Is not that. This,
no, I have
see,
rendered.
Let's sell this the way it should be sold.
Right, I've gotten under the politics just to the pure rage of being alive, and that basically is the thrust of What the Fuck. It's not about politics. It's really about what the fuck. Seriously, so. I have learned that everybody experiences that. So what I basically do on the podcast is for about 10 minutes, I'll pick on one thing or two things that have made me say, you know, what the fuck, and extended that thought. And then I'll have a comic on who I will not interview or let do any jokes. Here's my interviewing style. Here's what you'll get if you listen to What the Fuck. Usually what I do is I have a guest, and then I'll tell them why I resent them. And then I'll talk about myself for a little while, so they're really uncomfortable. And then I go, "So what are you up to?" So what happens is they're completely...
Yeah, see, I couldn't even answer. You just go again.
Right. See, that's how it goes.
How you
see,
do
I try.
It.
Yeah. So I'll go. So say something like, "So Doug, what have you been doing lately?"
Oh, I've been.
Do I look fat? No, seriously, because I see that's how it goes.
You look great.
Then they edit out even that response of him.
It's you great. Look fantastic, hyenas in Dallas.
So that's basically the podcast. But you're right. A lot of people think I'm political, and I may still be political, but I'm not going to talk about it in the same way.
He's non-sectarian. You're non-sectarian, right? You're non-denominational.
You're non-Parisian.
Yeah, it's not a... Republicans can't stand you, like you for this reason, and the Democrats, you know, you're across the board.
No, here's what I realized when I rendered it right down was that here's the difference between, like, liberals and Republicans. A liberal is someone who wakes up in the morning and says, God, I feel great. But there are people that don't. Whereas a Republican is someone who wakes up in the morning and says, God, I feel great. And that's all that fucking matters.
That's true.
And that's as political as I'll get right now. But I will address certain things.
I just want to say this table has a lot of character.
As you need to be.
Here's the most compelling political thing that happened to me yesterday.
I pretty much get you politically, right?
Well, listen. This actually happened. I'm standing online at the Duane Reade. There's a guy standing in front of me buying a case of beer. He's got sandals on. He's got shorts. He smells like cigarettes and liquor. And his hair is matted. You know, fairly standard character in California. And... he's arguing with it. He's basically having a conversation with the cashier saying, the lottery, I'm not playing it anymore. I'm done with the lottery. And he goes, do you know how much they take in taxes when you win the lottery? And the woman's like, I don't know, 50%? He goes, no, 33%. And then he says, what's the point of even playing? Like, he's got his, like, I was 2 days away from winning, but if they're going to fucking, if I'm only going to get $630,000 out of my million, that's bullshit.
I'm not working that hard to win the lottery so that they get to just kick back and
exactly.
They don't have to do anything. They just sit back and go, we get some of it that you won from us?
Well, I'm protesting. I'm not playing no more.
And then if he dies, there's the death tax after when he dies, right?
Well, yeah, it's amazing. If that message got into the brain of the idiot who's wasting $10 a day playing
playing the lottery, yeah, it's really sunk taxes. In. Like, I'm fucking done with it. It's rigged.
I went with the weekly payout is what I went with.
I don't want to spin the wheel, Drew Carey, because then I might win and go to the Showcase Showdown.
Yeah.
That is the dream job, though, what he has. Oh, when I wait, God. When I see him in the morning, I go, wow. Why can't I be the guy?
He doesn't even have a microphone that weighs very much. It's very thin.
He doesn't have... He apologizes occasionally for being funny. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Like, people,
but wait, would you... he'll make a joke and they'll go, oh, sorry about that. I was sorry, just joking around. I used to be a comedian.
Would you do that show?
I mean,
no.
Full-time comedian.
Well, what does it pay?
I like him.
Could you see... Would you do
He's
that show?
He's one of my favorites.
How would you do that? How would you present the game? All right, now... Hey, we're gonna... we're gonna spin the wheel. I hope the wheel works. Uh-oh, it's not working. Is my hair okay? Look, I'm on fire. I mean, how would that go with you?
Would you like to write for me if I got the game?
I would love to see you host a game show.
Hey.
Oh, this is people don't want to see me in the morning, I don't think. Not those
is that
people.
It, really? Is that...
No, the people watch that show.
You think that's holding you back?
Well, people watch that show. They don't want anybody making a big racket. Well, no, it is
keep
like
it down.
Pink
keep
and
it down.
Pink and horrible music. It's a very jarring show to watch.
I would love to see you host a game show. That, to me, would be hilarious.
Well, game show, I mean...
But isn't that a game show, or is that just...
Yeah, but I mean, I want to host a sophisticated...
But, like, the way I picture it... Oh, sure.
Word-oriented with...
He just made a sophisticated face. He just did
welcome,
it again.
Welcome
Stop
back
it.
To words and things.
Here's how it would work. I think the best, if you hosted a game show, the best thing that could be is you host it, but you actually never get to actually playing the game.
That's the thing.
That's the thing. Where you sort of do a lead in, then you get distracted, you go a little off road for a little while, and go, oh, we're out of time. I guess we'll play tomorrow.
How about they pick a box? It's not in the box. Then I make a phone call and I ask him, will you settle for it if it is in the box?
And then
I got
say,
a name for it. I got a name
What's
for
that?
It. Filibuster.
You make a phone call. The guy's not there. He's not picking up. I guess
quiz
we
show.
Have to improvise.
He's quiz show. Around the
quiz show.
Show.
Bring it back to the quiz show. And you'll have a movie thing, a nice hunk for the podcast.
Oh, so you're trying saying, to talk okay, about movies now?
Yeah.
You just gave me a segue?
Yeah, segue.
It's like the quiz show.
Sure. Yeah.
Have either of you guys ever written for a quiz show?
Have
no.
I written for a
I've
quiz
written
show?
For a bunch of them.
You have?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you write the questions or the jokes the guy says? Or do you
no, I write
money?
The answers.
Oh. get this guy.
What did you write for?
I wrote for Debt. That thing that was hosted by Wink Martindale, I think it was.
Did you see Wink Martindale?
It was kind of like Jeopardy, but not Jeopardy.
Did you work with him personally, Wink Martindale?
He was around. You know what? Maybe it wasn't Wink. Yeah, it was Wink Martindale. No, not Chuck Woolery.
He would have known if it was Chuck.
He didn't host
Yeah, Dad. How could you not know the difference?
But, yeah.
But was he one of those guys that looked 900 years old? Because he strikes me as a guy that you'd see up close and go, holy shit, Wink Martindale's a monster.
Yeah, well, he died, right?
No.
No, he's still alive, but he was like, you know.
Even if he's
he
alive, it sounds bad the way
there.
You're saying it.
What's that?
Even if he was alive now, you've ruined it for him.
He's alive.
He's not. He's dead, is he? That's not good.
We can just look it up on the
there's
phone.
There's no one over 50 listening to a podcast, Andy. No one he knows or loves is hearing this.
Yeah. I heard he's a big fan of the alternative comedy scene, Wink Martindale. And that's his birth name, by the way. Did not change it.
You're right, they're not listening. My father just informed me that he found the page of my podcast on the internet. Like, I see the page, what happens?
Does he know what WTF stands for?
Yeah, he's been on the show twice.
Oh, so he's heard the theme song. he's heard the what the fuck song.
But he's like, he comes on the show and he can't figure. I had my mother on last week. My mother, who is a functioning eating disorder person, like she refuses to acknowledge she has an eating disorder, though she's been 115 pounds her entire life. So I figure what better person than to do a diet segment. So I actually had a diet segment with my mother on the show, which I think is something everyone should tune into just to hear what she eats for dessert. And I'm going to leave it there.
Wow, that's what we in the business call a tease.
Yeah,
or I think
big
it's a deep
tease.
It's a cliffhanger.
Why
it is
a cliffhanger. Really?
Yeah,
because people are going to be like, "What happens? What does his mother eat if she doesn't eat anything?" Yeah, it's a tease.
It's a one-off. That's my favorite.
Should I get an iPhone? Seriously, should I get an iPhone?
Sure. I mean, I don't. I think it's all right, but I.
Are you addicted to it? Can you live without it?
I think it falls in that realm of, like, you know, technology that is created just to make us angry at how awesome technology is. Like, it's so fucking. It's the most amazing thing, and every day I get pissed at it for some stupid thing that, like, really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
Like, for what? Like, the iFart doesn't work?
If you're in the middle of writing a text and somebody calls, their thing comes right up and it fucking, you know, interrupts the text writing process, I don't want to talk to anyone on this thing.
Right.
I don't want to put this thing to my ear.
Right.
Because you know about that, right?
Yeah, it gives you cancer of the head.
Yeah, it totally gives you ear cancer.
Yeah.
It totally does.
Yeah.
All right. Cause don't get. I hate when you throw around medical jargon. Jargon. Use it on all my.
That sounds like
dishes.
A character from Star Trek.
What if it was jargon?
Or a planet.
Andy is up and he's down.
What
he's
if
up
it, what?
And he's back to the chair.
Did you notice in the last run of Robin Williams where he's promoting
the
old dogs? I didn't see the special.
I didn't either.
But he's promoting old dogs and he's promoting his special. He did a run of all the talk shows like The View and all that stuff. Not a lot of getting up out of the seat anymore. He's keeping it. Oh, is that why? Because he can't exert himself?
He has a thing. He has an electronic sensor.
I think he's got like a.
He's got like a boot that electric. Like, authorities are contacted if exciting himself with his own comedy.
I think they actually replaced
Robin's just really pleased with what he's saying right now. He's thinking about standing up. We got to have men rush in. Push him down. Push it down.
Did they actually replace a valve of his heart with that of another comic?
That'd be weird. Do you have an example of a comic that would be?
He's launching. He's launching into his Catholic light bit. Stand by. We might need help with that. I'm Episcopalian. That's Catholic light.
So what does he do instead?
That is the mere definition of pity laughter, right there. Oh, like he was doing a lot with his hand and the voice and everything. You're like, all right, some of us will giggle in a sad.
If it wasn't for pity laughter, I wouldn't have a career, my friend.
You should have gotten so much more pity laughter after that.
Now there's just
this crowd. What the fuck?
What the fuck?
I'm trying to get WTFF going.
Wait, oh,
what's
really?
That stand
yeah,
for?
What the fuckity fuck?
Oh, that's okay.
Makes it cute and fun.
I think
and
what
adds
I
another
said,
F.
What I've said about Andy Kenwer, and this is for the audience, what I've said in bringing him up when I used to work with him back in the day is that Andy Kenwer, folks, the humor is in the trying.
Oh, I laughed like it was about somebody else.
All right, yes. So I thought it'd be funny to like let the whole show go by and not play the Leonard Maltin game.
I've been preparing.
Because one guy complained to me about it on the internet that he didn't like it, and I said, "Well, because you didn't like it, I'm going to play it, and I'm going to do it in every show until I die."
Did you say that to him?
Words to that effect. I said, "Thank you for your nice comments."
Why don't you do it until Leonard Maltin dies?
Well, it might be too sad to press on if Len passes.
That would be tough.
Yeah. I was already hit so hard by the non-death of Wink Martindale.
How much negative email do you respond to? Like, do you find yourself responding to them? Like,
I find myself starting to, and I try to stop myself. Like, sometimes I'll type it out just to see it. I'll take a look at it, and then I'll erase it. And
like, don't hit send.
But a lot of times I resort to blocking.
But you
I'm just like, I don't want to hear from this person again because they're clearly just trying to poke me. But a lot of times when you write back to somebody, they'll write to you something like, "You're a stupid faggot."
Yes.
And you write back and they go, "Just kidding. You're one of my favorite comics. I didn't think you'd respond unless I said something obnoxious." It's just like, all right. I am a stupid faggot.
How did they know?
You
exactly?
got me. You got me.
It's too specific. How could they know?
I really
stupid don't. And faggot together? Come on, what are the odds?
So now I'm having a resurgence of wanting to play the Leonard Maltin game to go against this guy that
I'm pumped up about
was so
it.
Against it. And he wasn't rude, really. He was just saying that it's not as fun for him to listen to as some other aspects of the program.
And then he burned a Leonard Maltin effigy on your front lawn.
Yeah, but we got some people sitting here in these chairs right here. You know what that means?
Oh, yeah.
People sitting this close, they either didn't know that they might be participating because they sat this close, or they sat this close on purpose.
Well,
let's find out what happened. Did you sit here on purpose?
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's here on purpose. He wants to play. He came to play. What about you, sir?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And you, ma'am? You want to play too? You're clearly a couple, though. So I'm going to penalize you, as they do to most women in most countries. And actually, you guys can share the prize. How about that? And she'll get 50% of it eventually. All right. You can't even split this in half.
She'll get more.
Yeah, she won't want any of the prizes. All right. So should I tell them what? Will it make you more nervous if you know what they're playing for? Should I tell them after they've won or lost?
Do I?
That'd probably be better.
No, you can do it. Do whatever you want. I'm not nervous at all. I'm going to ace this thing.
I'm playing for St. Jude's Hospital.
I'm playing for St. Jude's. All right, that's good. The good way to fill Andy while I'm bringing up the Leonard Maltin.
Andy laughing
game.
At his own joke.
My iPod.
It's
my
sad,
iPhone. My iPhone comes through week after week when playing the Leonard Maltin game on the show. Like, I've never had a problem with that.
I worry
that it's going to, like, one night I'm going to get in here and it's going to be a dead zone, and then
the compass doesn't.
My BlackBerry has become developmentally disabled.
Okay,
somehow.
So the compass will fail him in the article. Since you guys are both amazingly astute politically individuals, you always have something to say. See, that's a good guess. That could be one of these.
Okay,
I've picked for the game this week political thrillers. It's all political thrillers. In the Leonard
Costa Gravis.
Game.
Am I wrong?
Yeah. And we'll start with you, since you were sort of right by guessing a political thriller ahead of time. That's not in here.
I don't like playing.
Would you like to play one from pick a year, Andy? You think you'd be better at 1991, 2009, or 1976?
1976, because I was 40 at the time.
All right, and what's your name?
Pat.
Pat, and what's your name? Just the man.
Ray.
Ray. No, sorry. What's your name? Sarah. Ray and Sarah. Okay, Ray and Sarah and Pat. Mark's playing for Pat. You're playing for Ray and Sarah.
Okay.
And
just the man I'm playing for. I'm not playing for the woman.
Mostly the man. The woman's not going to want any of these prizes, but she may want the happiness that'll come with the look on her husband or boyfriend's face.
Hey, Pat, if this doesn't pan out, you're not going to kill me. Okay, all right. The guy's sitting by himself. He's got fatigues on. All right, here we go.
So glad I did Doug's podcast.
He changes it up, too. Last week he had a black trench coat on. All right.
You do come every week, don't you?
What did he say?
What did he say?
Yeah, he said, I've got all your records, and that was the last thing I heard.
What year did you pick? You picked 76.
Lee Marvin.
Andrew Kindler picked 1976.
Lee Marvin.
This movie is a political thriller from 76, and I'll tell you what one thing that Leonard Maltin has to say about it. He says, superb. Calls it superb.
You should be able to get it.
That's the only word I could pick out of the review that wouldn't give away what movie he's talking about.
You got it?
Everything else would give it away. So this is a superb 1976 political thriller, and 4 stars, perfect score from Len Maltin.
Do you ever do it like they did on Password? Superb.
I can now. I can do it. I'll do that next one that way. I'll do the next one that way. All right. Andy?
Yes.
You got 14 names.
I can name it in 14 names.
No, I can name it. Strong opening bid. No, that's good. Now, Mark, you get to bid. Do you want to undercut him?
Yeah, hell
by
yeah.
A number of names? You want to say like 4 names?
What do we got to go on? It's superb.
It's superb, and it's a political thriller.
And then there's 14 names?
The year was 1976.
1976?
14 names.
What is thriller?
No.
You don't.
I can. Oh, I
you
can,
don't. First of all, don't guess until someone says name that movie.
Okay.
Because he's going to guess it in how many names?
Two.
Two names, he says.
Oh, I two can't names. Beat that.
The worst players do the boldest moves in this game. It's always amazing to me. With the less they know, the more quickly they jump to, I can do it in one name.
That's called, let's get this over with.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
nice.
It's good. I like your attitude.
No, I'm kidding. I'm excited.
And Pat is really excited that he has a gun on him.
He's happy that they took away the magnetometer.
He's happy that he's packing.
I could use a new stalker. Mine retired.
Okay, your two names.
Yeah.
Because you're saying name that movie, right? You're not going to underbid two names.
No.
Okay. Oh, come on.
Yeah, name that movie.
Your names are Lindsay Krause.
Yeah.
This is not a Mammoth movie, though.
Yeah.
And because that's the only other time she worked.
The guy with Sarah laughed the loudest of anybody at
that. I just saw this movie, I think.
F. Murray Abraham is the other name. Andy thinks he knows it.
I just want to know.
F. Murray Abraham and Lindsay Krause in a 1976 political thriller.
Yeah, and they both had small enough parts that they were listed 13th and 14th.
Is there any? Don't say anything, but is there anybody in the crowd who actually does know this already?
Probably not.
Oh.
It's tough. It's hard.
It's a tough hard one?
Yeah, well, no, it wouldn't be hard if you heard all 14 names.
Can you give me some other names?
No, you said two. You said two.
But why can't I choose for more names?
This isn't the Jew bargains for more time.
I'm look at Pat. He needs to win.
Are you still trying to get this over with?
No. But I thought 1976 political thriller, really good. It had to be what I thought it was going to be, but it can't be that.
Guess it. I didn't make it super hard on you guys.
Name that movie.
I have no idea.
Watergate.
No, it's not All the President's Men, because that was...
The President's Men.
Okay.
It is All the President's Men. What's wrong with you?
I knew that. That was the only movie that came out that was political, but I thought it was later.
That's what I'm saying. I thought that was a great clue.
All right, can we edit this part out? Well,
Polly Holiday, Robert Walden, Ned Beatty.
Wait, let's go back.
Baxter.
Let's go back. I'm going to guess
it. Bernie at the time.
Oh, I thought it was called Watergate.
Stephen Collins, Jane Alexander.
Let's edit it. So I'm going to guess it again. All the President's Men?
No, you said it. You get it. We're not going to haggle over that. He said it. Even though he said it's not All the President's Men, it's the only thing he did say.
Right.
So yeah, I think...
You disappointed Sarah.
I was under the impression that it was the anti-Jeopardy, that I had to answer all questions and not an answer.
Good cover.
I toured the country as anti-Jeopardy for a brief time period.
So Pat's got a point. So we'll start with Andy again. Andy, would you like a movie from 2009, 1999, or 2004?
Let's go with 1999.
That wasn't a choice. 2009, 1991, or 2004?
I'll go with 1991 again.
Okay, this has... the clue is there's a shit ton of names. And it's from 1991, and it's a political thriller. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 18 names.
Shit ton.
I can name it in six names.
One person in the audience.
I came to play. I came to play.
You can do it in six names, he says.
And there's a shit ton of names?
There's a lot of names.
And what year is it?
It's from 1991.
What's the play here? Because my instinct is just to go, I can name it in three.
I think he...
Well, you don't have to go one lower, would you?
I think he either knows it, I think he already knows it already, or he's just being silly and, trying to get this moving along.
How many did he say he could move it? Name it?
Six.
I can do it in five.
It's very dramatic. Oh, do I get to rebid?
It's a good thing you just replenished some of your electrolytes.
It's rough.
Tell them what this is, Andy, because it's clearly not
from an orange beverage.
Don't distract from the game.
Okay. No, I'd like him to tell the story.
Do
what
I get
that
to rebid?
Is.
No, he gets it.
No, you can five. You could go four. I'll you could say name that movie.
I name that movie.
No, I want to do it to you.
I can do it in four names.
He okay, says do it four names.
Name that movie.
All right, here you go. The names are Sean Stone, Thomas Milan, Tony Plana, and Wayne Knight, who of course played Newman on Seinfeld.
Now I'm supposed to divine it like a psychic? I'm going to say missing.
Oh, that's a good guess. That's a really good guess. But now somebody yell out as soon as you know it. Vincent D'Onofrio, Edward Asner, Walter Matthau, Jack Lemmon, John Candy, JFK.
Wow.
Oh.
Nice.
Well, all I know is
that... That was fun. So you won.
So
Mark,
we got 2 points back.
You were so worried. You just won.
Because of what we established earlier, I feel like I'm playing for my life.
Well, it's an enigma wrapped up in a bacon.
Let's tell Pat what he won. You won for him.
Oh, what did Pat win? What did I win for him?
You bested a very smart... he had two good guesses. Z and Missing are probably the only two other political thrillers I didn't put into the game. The others I had were Manchurian Candidate and...
Parallax View. Yeah.
And one more.
Scarface?
What would the other one be? No.
Well, Z would have been great.
Oh, The International.
Ooh, I would have never got that.
The banking thriller from earlier this year that didn't make any money because it's a banking thriller.
like a banking thriller. Could you? Was there ever a year in our lives when everyone was like, "We're all rich. Let's go see a banking thriller"? But this particular year
is a really bad time to fucking drop the banking thriller. All right. So as usual, I have a medical marijuana tour T-shirt from my tour that I did over the fall, and you can get those at DonkeyTees.com. And so he won one of those. He also won a shirt that says Oaksterdam University on it. It's a real place, Oaksterdam. Yoaksterdam. That'd be a good place to learn about egg dishes. Oaksterdam is where you go to. They have a college there where you can learn how to cultivate and you know, be a person who hooks people up. That's the technical words for it.
Is it in Amsterdam?
You could be a provider.
Is it here?
It's in Oakland, California.
Oh, cool. So you learn to grow and distribute?
Yeah, and you could do it like either a night class, you can do it over a weekend, and you learn like all the ins and outs of growing your own pot and distributing it legally.
It's sort of sad, isn't it? That used to be things you learned from that guy that you know.
And it's amazing. It's amazing if you, but that's the thing, is if you, I sat in on a class, yeah. And it's all dudes that probably, you know, either didn't get through high school or were just really tough, scary guys, you know, like it's definitely like that kind of a crowd that seems like, but they are all fascinated. They're asking questions, like, you know, it's just nice.
Is there a class
that they found something that they're fascinated by, marijuana, and like, I wish that they could just, that people could just see that, like, how it's probably, you know, like, they say that, you know, medical marijuana, obviously, or marijuana in general, doesn't cause any, you know, hasn't really caused any deaths. But also, I wonder how many times it's caused a situation where something violent could have happened but didn't because of the marijuana. There's no statistics for that. But there's got to be a lot of times where someone's going to beat somebody's ass, but they smoked a joint instead.
Right.
Or they were high and didn't even think of beating a dude's ass. I know I never do. And this is like, you get nice things when you do TV shows sometimes, like his little parting gifts, and I already have several of these, so I thought I'd, you know, pay this forward with a Comedy Central sticker on it. You could probably scrape it off. I mean, if you're not into Comedy Central, is an iPod Shuffle.
Wow!
That you win because Marc Maron knows so much more about movies than Andy Kindler.
Look at this.
Holy shit, Pat.
Couple of...
But guess what he gets to do? Guess what Pat gets to do?
What?
At the end of every show, I call somebody a shithead.
Yeah.
And he gets to name who the shithead is this week.
Oh.
Yeah. So who do you want the shithead to be? Don't say it too loud. It'll be a fun surprise. Who's a shithead?
Is it one of us?
Well, yeah, I would pick Andy Kindler if I were you.
I feel like I'm going to take a hit.
He made you lose. But who do you think's a shithead?
I think it's a Mark.
Don't hurt me.
He's got no one.
Yeah, he's
I'll improvise
polite.
At the end.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
He's a very polite man.
Yeah, there's no reason.
Can I ask you a question about that?
He came, he sat down up front, and I tried to give him a consolation prize, and he said, fuck your consolation prize.
Yeah.
I'm too polite.
It's like
to go with your bullshit.
Because you're asking
of having to call someone a shithead.
Yeah, like who would think that be?
Be
like a Nazi?
How could there possibly be? Yeah, what about Nazis?
Who would be a Nazi? Who'd be most likely to be a Nazi?
I'll pick a famous Nazi. I'll say a famous Nazi at the end. It'll be a nice way to close off the Jewish episode. Do you guys have anything you want to plug? Do you have anything you want to plug before we go? We got to get out of here.
Yeah, I do. I have a
Comedy
show
Death
called
Race going to start right now.
WTF.
No, you don't.
Yeah, he's going to be on WTF tomorrow.
You're going to be a guest on his show. It'll be a crossover episode. We're like the CSI of podcasts.
I still have a DVD for sale. I'm releasing it slowly.
Seriously, raise your hand if that made any sense to you.
But it doesn't need to make sense when Andy says it.
No, it's a DVD release party. I'm having a DVD release party tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah.
With salads?
What
does salads have to do with anything?
Salads.
This is actually the invitation.
No,
I'm having one now if anyone wants to hang out.
With salads.
I'm going to be at the Irvine Improv. I'll be at the Irvine Improv December 26th and 27th.
That's a joke credit you're doing there.
Okay, I can plug
that's
things.
A real thing. I'm going to be there. And then The High Road, I'm going to be a TV special on G4 Network on December 28th. And for New Year's Eve, I'll be at the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco with Greg Barrett. The Bammer's going to be there.
Holy shit.
Todd Barry and more.
Am I on that show?
Moore is going to be there as well.
Can I try and plug now?
He's more successful.
Please. You're supposed to do it before mine. But
WTF podcast going. I'm going to be in Seattle in January sometime.
Just visiting?
No, I'll probably do some shows.
You're planning ahead to up your depression. I should schedule a weekend in Seattle in January.
Big letdown when he gets there and there's no booking.
No, be at that Laughs Club. The Laughs.
Oh, Laughs in Kirkland.
Yeah, Kirkland.
I've there,
in January, but I don't remember the dates.
I'll be at Parlor Live in Bellevue, nearby suburb, February 26th and 27th.
Oh, shit, maybe I'll hang out.
No, no.
So, what is it, like a month?
Who books,
these rooms, though, is what I want to know.
Oh, it's there are these magical gnomes that I keep meaning to hook you up with their number.
Yeah, you can go to WTFpod.com. That's my last plug.
I have a DVD that I'm...
Is it salads?
Salads. It's called Salads with a Side of Soup.
It's horrible when you're insecure to be trying to be a salesman because you're sort of like, hey, go there, you know, if you want.
I've got them under my coat.
Yeah.
Apologies to Comedy Death Ray. We ran long. Thank you, everybody, for coming. And let's hear it for Andy Kindler and Mark Maron.
You name a Nazi at the end or no?
It's about to happen.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Doug.
And as always, Tom Cruise is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, because Doug loves movies.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.